What if, one day, at the exact same time in each hemisphere, two identical fists, made of some substance of supreme hardness and density, came out of space and blocked out the sun on one side of the Earth and the night sky on the other? And supposing those fists just appeared magically, their approach was not picked up by any telescope or warning system. They simply materialized and hovered, menacing, malevolent, one left, one right, each fist the size of a planet, and they just hung there, poised and ready to obliterate the Earth. They would exhibit slight motion, just as would fists attached to a person. That would deliver constant anxiety to all Earthlings. No explanation, no communication, no cute little musical code, as in Close Encounters. Just fists, cocked, and ready to come together and smash the Earth like a grape. How would that alter human behavior, the course of history, the belief systems around the globe?
Larry,
get into bed now.
For millennia, people worshiped the sun, the moon, the ocean, trees, damn near anything. In one of the too many Planet of the Apes movies, the weird radiation mutants who lived underground in fear of the apes, those guys worshiped atom bombs. That might be fun to get behind. Those fists would trigger new religions. Let's see, what would they be called? Fisters? Yeah, that'd work pretty good. The Fisters. Quick side story here is, you may or may not know, as a kid I was a very busy actor and occasionally would do a commercial for products that would roll out regionally, and then if they took off, they'd make them national. One was a new laundry detergent called Giant. I guess it was a ripoff of Mr. Clean, and the deal was, Mom would open the lid on the Maytag, and out would pop a fist the size of a fucking volleyball.
Put a Giant in your washing machine.
So we're at the studio, and there's my TV mom looking perky and domestic, and in walks the Giant with the fist. They must have found him in a circus, well over 7 feet tall and closer to 400 pounds than three. The set was a laundry room with a washer dryer, and of course, the washer had been gutted so this dude could crawl underneath and shove his fist through the hatch on cue. And after an hour of lighting and shot blocking and sound checks and hair and makeup touch-ups, the big guy gets under the washer, and the director, sitting on the dolly with his eye pressed to the viewfinder, yells, "Action!" And Mom looks at my dirty jeans and says, "Oh, Johnny, how am I ever going to get those jeans clean?" And that's when the world's biggest fist pops out of the washer, and I hear the director say, "Jesus Christ." And then he says, "Where's his fucking thumb?" And then there's complete silence as everyone stares at the thumbless fist. Some grip started to laugh, and then it was on. A chain reaction of laughter that went on for many minutes. The morons at the ad agency who cast the Giant never asked to look at both his hands. It was a McGilla to re-block the shot for his other hand. The storyboard showed a right fist popping out of the machine, and now they had to get permission from the creative director to shoot the left hand. Of course, the creative director was on safari somewhere. It was a monkey fuck. But that show business, or Madison Avenue, which is New York's version of show business, other than Broadway, which is closed until further notice. All those new products and the commercials that flogged them were first distributed in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which at that time was America's test market. It was a perfect demographic crosscut of the greater United States. If it sold in Fort Wayne, it would sell anywhere, or so the theory went. Apparently, Fort Wayne had no love for the nine-fingered giant. Maybe it was his left hand, the commie hand. But I digress. With the fists of oblivion hovering over the earth, there would be new instant religions around the world. The fisters would be first, of course, followed by what? The penitents? They'd all be mocked by that other religion, the one for people who don't believe in religion, the sciencers. They'd send up probes to drill core samples and try to figure out where and when the hell the fists were from, which would scare the shit out of the fisters, who would be certain that such disrespect as trying to chip a chunk off a fist would enrage it and hasten the Earth's destruction. Even if they sent up Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck to chisel off a chip, they'd discover the fist had hardness and density that not even a hydrogen bomb could scratch. Well, once that intel was relayed to Earth, there would immediately be a splinter religion, naming themselves the Forever Fists of Love. Facial tattoos of a fist surrounded by a heart would be mandatory. All these groups would hate each other. Some would kill each other. If one of the fist planets moved a little, each sect would blame the other and claim it was a sign the big fist was pissed off. There would soon be more spin-off religions for people who worship not both fists, but chose either left or right. They'd probably create religious dogma that aligned with the politics of the left and the right, and after a while, people would further segment it to worshiping certain fingers with the concomitant names, the pinks, the rings, the fuck yous, the indices, and the thumbs. Some would further subdivide and choose individual knuckles. Some would want to visit the planetary fists and paint love and hate on the knuckles like Robert Mitchum had in Night of the Hunter. But then they'd be reminded that if an atom bomb could not scratch a fist, it probably would repel any paint known to man. People have all kinds of sappy, weak-sauced notions about planetary destruction. Earthquakes and fires and nukes and meteor strikes. Those end-of-world scenarios are chicken shit. When that half-assed destruction was over, there still would be a sphere rotating and revolving. And, probably over time, it would regenerate. How many millennia would pass until, once again, there were ukuleles and accordions, light beer and skinny girl cocktails, common core math, Karens and SJWs, late-night talk shows hosted by talentless assholes, universities teeming with pukey people who really didn't know a fucking thing about anything but were well paid to teach lies? How long until cancel culture would again be the global pastime? In really good sci-fi movies, the monster must be killed with fire. But Earth is mostly rock and water, and they speculate liquid fire at its core. So how do you burn that? But two fists, each the size of, say, Mars, looming, menacing out there in space, just waiting to come together in one mighty punch that reduces this planet to cosmic dust. Now we're talking authentic Armageddon. A totality of destruction heretofore unimaginable. Many people, many religions believe that other partial global demolitions, say like Noah's feeble flood, that stuff has happened multiple times and they just may be correct. But what good did it do? Why don't those who believe the end is near cook up a fresh social media challenge? There was the ice bucket challenge and that planking craze and the mannequin challenge. Why not the DIY apocalypse challenge? If they really think the planet is doomed, why sit around powerlessly to wait for it? Self-determine, get proactive, and make a spectacle of yourself. That's been a thing for some people, those Buddhist monks who sometimes light themselves up as a form of protest, but that's really hard to watch. Fire might be the worst way to go, but a big explosion that takes a fraction of a second, that's not so bad. Kind of like a water balloon popping. People making videos of themselves swallowing a live grenade for TikTok, which is the perfect platform. They can give a 9-second goodbye and then pull the pin on an M67. The delay is about 4 or 5 seconds and then kaboom.
Get a ServPro crew to that address and tell them to bring a power washer and some drywall.
Well, those vids would definitely be obscured by that opaque window shade thingy that Zuckerberg uses for violent or offensive imagery. The world is more fucked up now than ever. And so, the end of days prophecies are flying like ass gags at a proctologist convention. People are dredging up mountains of scripture and predictions from the Bible and the Torah and the Vedas, but they're all too weak. Let's do it right, and with finality. Enough with the fucking do-overs. They're getting old. It isn't working. We need those cosmic fists of fury and conclusiveness. To look at media and social media, it appears the world has lost its full rotational speed and is now wobbling on its axis like a toy top. Pandemics, surges, riots, cops being replaced by social workers, statues being destroyed, murder and violence skyrocketing. There are probably only two schools of thought about the apocalypse. Do we deserve it or not? I'm on the side of bring it. But what if those hovering fists did arrive, without explanation? Some might think it was a sign from God. Some would think it was an alien visitor. The sciencers would think the fists were caused by cars and cattle, and all that CO2 just happened to coalesce into solid rock. Same way peacocks and petunias and people just happened after some big fucking bang. The alien threat angle was explored in the old sci-fi movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still from 1951. It was remade in 2008 with Keanu Reeves. I've not seen the reboot because every review said it sucked, but the original was very good. Simple story. Intergalactic cop with high cheekbones and pomaded hair lands his flying saucer in Washington, D.C., The spaceman is accompanied by his pet robot, Gort, who is scary and near silent. Space cop, whose name is Klaatu, tells us Gort wields sufficient power to destroy the Earth. Well, of course, the prideful and violent and territorial Americans send over an army division to tell Klaatu and Gort to get the fuck off our lawn. Just as the GIs shoulder their M1s, Gort's visor slides open and vaporizes their guns and tanks and artillery with his disintegrator death ray. Well, now it's a whole new ballgame. The spaceman changes out of his Mylar spacesuit and into a herringbone outfit and sneaks around Georgetown. Of course, he meets a pointy chick who falls for him, but eventually he reveals to the world the nature of his visit. The people of his planetary federation have had an eye on Earth and they're not happy about our activities. Klaatu tells Earth to cool it with the A-bombs, or he'll have Gort lay waste to us. And to show he's not fucking around, he disables all electric power on Earth for a half hour. Every Ford, Frigidaire, and Ferris wheel stops dead for exactly 1,800 seconds. Klaatu never gets a promise from us or the Ruskies that we'll stop playing with nukes, but he makes his ultimatum before he and Gort fire up the saucer and haul ass to their next anti-Second Amendment intimidation job. Fuck him and his robot. If we want to shoot nukes off like Roman candles, we damn well will, and no quasi-commie spaceman and his muscle bot are going to stop us. It all made for a fascinating movie, but let's say something like that actually happened. Within a few months, humanity would be terribly misbehaving again, because the species has a really short memory. Which is why the opposing planet-sized fists would be so much more effective. But after a while, we become blasé even about those sun and moon-blocking threats, and everyone would again be assholes. It happened in the Bible repeatedly. God would send floods and fire and brimstone and plagues and rain down frogs and turn the sea red with blood. And once the mayhem had passed, we hopscotch down the road to perdition as we flipped God the bird. It's just who we are. And I suspect on some level, God finds that cute. It's like when Moose, the official 16-pound guard dog of the Take No Shit Dojo, when Moose begs for food, even though his little belly has just been filled with gourmet beef and veggies, I laugh and give him a nibble of my lasagna because that's what Moose is. And if he were any different, he would not be Moose. And now there's a new comet buzzing the Earth, and it's only 65 million miles out there. It's called Neowise. And it'll be hanging around for a while, but if you miss it, no worries, you can see it again in 7,000 years. Many claim that comets are augurs of turbulent times and strange days, and why not? The best comet I ever saw was Hale-Bopp back in 97, the comet that enabled the fabulous Doe Applewhite to convince a few dozen mature adult tech wizards to cut their own balls off, then wear matching Nikes as they drank poison, and then wrap their heads in plastic bags, enabling their souls to rocket from their bodies and jump aboard that comet's tail for an eternal thrill ride around the galaxy. It was, hands down, the funniest story of the 20th century. And I covered it all in episode 125. That's in the September 2018 tab at thatlarryshow.com. Some might think, ooh, how horrible. How could one find such tragedy funny? And my answer would be, how could you not? Every one of them was a mature adult, well-educated, not under the influence of drugs, not coerced in any way. Of course, they were crazy as shithouse rats. But what if goofy old Doe was right, and they're up there now, whizzing past Alpha Centauri, like kids on a roller coaster? And what if they happen to notice two massive objects shaped like fists hurtling toward Earth at warp speed? Now who are the crazy ones, And what if one of those fists is minus a thumb? That will also give us something to think about, but not me. God is a busy dude. He probably hired a sloppy casting agency, too, because shit happens. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for more content and commentary. While there, be sure to click a subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you like what you heard, let everyone know by posting your rave review wherever you download. If you really like what you heard, click the Patreon button. That opens up a world of bonus content and other goodies, including signed books, custom recordings, and more. Write to me anytime at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. We have a lot of fun between shows on Facebook and Twitter. I guarantee you'll meet some cool listeners there. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar and you'll find us. Oh, and check out Instagram as well. There you'll find a complete archive of all the fabulous thumbnails. It's a great way to peruse shows and find one you like. Until next Wednesday, take no shit.